Michelangelo was only 14 years old when he came to Bertoldo. 14 years old. And already at that time, Bertoldo could see that he had a gift that surpassed anything he has ever seen. But he was also wise enough to realize that gifted people are often tempted to coast rather than to grow. And therefore, he kept trying to pressure his young prodigy to work seriously at his art. One day, Bertoldo came into the studio to find Michelangelo working on this simple piece. It was far beneath what Bertoldo knew Michelangelo was skilled to do. And so what he did was he grabbed a hammer and he walked across the room and he smashed the sculpture that Michelangelo was working on. And this is what he said, an unforgettable message that rung in the very soul of Michelangelo. He said, "Michelangelo, talent is cheap, dedication is costly. Talent is cheap, dedication is costly." For many of us, we know this to be very true. The dedication of this building represents a dedication that was costly as far as maybe emotions are concerned. Physically draining. Right, Randy? Mentally, it could be draining. And you know what? It hasn't been easy, but I'll tell you what, it's been well worth it. And I would continue to do it over and over and over again. Now, dedicating oneself to the Lord is costly too. But listen to what the Bible says about this. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service," according to Romans 12:1. You see, it's our reasonable service and it's our reasonable response to the love that God showed us through His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:19 tells us that we love Him because He first loved us. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He demonstrated that love on the cross. And listen closely to what the psalmist said in Psalm 103, 11 through 14. "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him, who reverence Him, who obey Him, who are called His children. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." The Father in His love for His children. It was a costly one, but one that was more costly than any payment that we could make ourselves. Anything that we could endure, it far superseded anything. He took your sins and mine, past, present, and future, and atoned for them by shedding His blood on the cross at Calvary for you and I. It's only through God's sacrifice of His Son that you could have the hope of forever being in the presence of God's glory. You could rest assured that that's the moment you take your last breath here, you know you're going to take your first breath in the presence of the Lord. God is dedicated and faithful in His promises to us. What I'm reminded of as very applicable and appropriate to this morning is found in 1 Kings chapter 8, talking about dedicating the temple which Solomon built. Verse 1 It says, "Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel, to King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the city of David, which is in Zion." Verse 2, "Therefore all the men of Israel assembled with King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month. So all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. Then they brought up the ark of the Lord, the tabernacle of meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. The priests and the Levites brought them up." Verse 5, "Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude." And we'll stop there. The first thing I want to point out is that dedication involves an immeasurable sacrifice. Immeasurable. So oftentimes we as human beings, what we do is we give of ourselves, but then we want to be noticed. We want to be taken into account what we've given. We want to be appreciated. And those are the things which are the circumstances by which we determine how we're going to give to the Lord. And that's the wrong attitude to have. For the children of Israel and for Solomon, it was immeasurable how much they sacrificed to the Lord. We cannot outdo the Lord. If they would have stayed there for days on end, for weeks, for months, for the rest of their lives, just sacrificing to the Lord, it would be their reasonable service. That's it, period. I was coming in this morning, going down the long hallway in our beautiful home for the last 4 months. The Residence Inn. And I was thinking, it was early in the morning, and I was thinking, I am tired. It's been a long week, and it's been a long couple months, and I was complaining. And just, you know, quietly, in my thoughts, in my heart, and the Lord quickly reminded me, snapped me out of it. He says, "It's your reasonable service. Whether you're tired or not, you go and serve me." And he said, "Let me give you a few reminders that you being tired is just whining. Come on, kid." And just really quickly, he brought to mind just how people are being persecuted. The Voice of the Martyrs. If you don't subscribe to Voice of the Martyrs, then I suggest that you do so, because it puts everything in proper perspective for you and I as believers. There are people who are sacrificing their very lives for the gospel. They are living in conditions which you and I would be just sickened by. And yet I was moaning and groaning over being tired, going down this long hallway, having just gotten out of a warm bed, taking a shower, going down the hallway. It's my reasonable service. And I will continue to sacrifice whatever it takes to continue in the Lord's plans and purposes that He has for my life. And I pray that that's the case with you. That your sacrifice, that you understand, that you come into an attitude to where it's immeasurable. Yes, Lord. And I'm going to stop counting. I'm just going to continue to give day in and day out. Make my heart right before you. Clean me. Show me what needs to be taken care of and confessed to you. And help me by your power and by your understanding, my understanding of your word given to me through the Holy Spirit, of who I need to be in you. May I not count what I've been giving. May I dedicate my life to you completely. We should never be tired of doing good, serving the Lord with our very lives. Dedication. What do most people think when we say the word dedication? Well, a boat that someone christens with a champagne bottle. The cutting of a ribbon, right? It's a ceremony. Well, what does God say about dedication? He says that a dedication for God looks like a place in a person who is sanctified, set apart for his purpose, for his plans. Ephesians 2:10 says this about you. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. That means continuously. We're his poema, his masterpiece, his workmanship for his glory. That's what dedication looks like. Committing oneself to action. I love what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I have determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's not saying that I really don't care about you. I am basically going to get some biblical knowledge and that's all I'm going to live in. No. What he's saying there is that I don't want to get caught up in everything that the world has to offer. The little squabbles that you're having, I want to make sure that they're taken care of biblically and not according to the wisdom and knowledge of the world, because it's nothing compared to God's. Let's apply the Bible to everything that we're doing. That's living a dedicated and committed life. And I pray that that is what takes place in this building day in and day out. That the counseling that takes place, that it is all edifying and pleasing to the Lord, and it is all biblical and not an opinion of a man. Solomon's dedication was spectacular. 1 Kings 8:5 tells us that there was so much that it couldn't even be numbered for multitude. So it was spectacular, and it was sacred. In fact, look over at verse 63. Actually, I'll start in verse 62, which says, "Then the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifices before the Lord. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered to the Lord, 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord." Let me take you down through verse 64 as well. "On the same day, the king consecrated the middle of the court that was in front of the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings, grain offerings, and the fat of the peace. Of the peace offerings, because the bronze altar that was before the Lord was too small to receive the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the fat of the peace offerings. It was sacred. This place is sacred. And what we see there, not only was he consecrating the temple to the Lord, it was immeasurable as well. And in fact, the sacrifices couldn't even fit on the altar. I mean, can you imagine that? Just one after another. I mean, the numbers are just astonishing, right? Sacred. May this place be sacred unto the Lord. Go back to verse 10. And I'm going to skip around. So it's not what we normally do. We normally go line by line. But not this morning. Verse 10, "And it came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord." What's interesting in these verses is that when the priest vacated the holy place, then the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and they couldn't even remain standing to minister, to work, to serve the Lord. They couldn't do that. They couldn't even stand, is what the Bible tells us. The ESV, English Standard Version, says it this way, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. In other words, the presence of God was so thick, so powerful, that the priests, all they could do is just fall on their faces. They couldn't even stand. Can you imagine that? Being there at that time and seeing this take place, the priest who brought the Ark of the Covenant into the holy place now could no longer stand. Those priests were brought down to their knees in the presence of the Lord. We can't, listen, elders, and I pray this for everyone else as well, we can't minister to the Lord and to his people until we spend time with our King on our knees, on our faces, praying on our knees, seeking him in devotion time. And I'll tell you what, I can tell when people are not spending that time with the Lord. His attitudes change, don't they? They do. But I pray that we are consistent and continuous in our reading of the Word, in understanding what the Lord wants to say to us and encourage us. And in the dedication of this building, I pray that the Lord's servants reverently, in spiritual posture, cannot stand in his presence in this place, but rather bless God by submitting to his power, his spirit, that we may be instruments in the hands of our Lord. Never being distractions, but being enablers to the work that the Lord wants to do through each and every one of you. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So dedication in the Lord is immeasurable in sacrifice, glorious in presence, and thirdly, our dedication is trustworthy in the Lord. The dedication of this building is also the relying on the Lord for the fulfillment of his plans and purposes, and not our own. It's trusting him to do a work. That takes so much pressure off of everyone. When we understand it's not by what who we are and how much effort we can put into it. It's understanding that we can trust that God's plans will come to fruition. And if we choose to be vessels that are used by him, then great. That's wonderful. That's what we should be doing. But he is trustworthy. Verses 22, starting in verse 22 of chapter 8, says, then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, and spread out his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand, as it is this day. Listen, just as God was with Moses, he is with Solomon. With this generation as they built this temple. And what this demonstrates is an affirmation of the continuity of the Lord's never-changing character. He will never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that should give us hope. That should give us, understanding that the same God who was faithful then is faithful to us today, this morning. Solomon was faithful in providing a place of worship, and the Lord has been faithful in honoring King Solomon's commitment. Do you have a commitment that the Lord wants to honor? And I pray that as we continue to serve, that we remain faithful to the Lord, who is trustworthy of our commitment and dedication. And truly, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven or on earth below like you. So our dedication should be immeasurable in sacrifice, glorious in presence, trustworthy in the Lord, and lastly, our dedication should be a testimony of God's grace. Let's read in verse 41. Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country for your name's sake, for they will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm when he comes and prays toward this temple. Hear in heaven your dwelling place and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. I had to go to these verses as I was looking through and praying on the text. Solomon prays for the foreigner. And he asks God, as they consider who God is, to listen to him, as they call out to him, as they hear of his great name and call on him, Solomon is asking God to bend his ear down, to listen to him. The dedication of this building wouldn't be complete without asking God, without his burden on my heart, for those who have not called on him just yet, who have not asked Jesus Christ, who is faithful, to come into your lives. You see, Solomon had compassion for the foreigner. Do we talk about the foreigner, or do we pray for them and show them, demonstrate to them the agape love that God has demonstrated to us? Charlie Sheen. Are we caught laughing at him, or are we caught praying for him? That's I'm sure that, okay, Pastor, that was not nice. Because you know that most of you have been sitting there just laughing at Charlie Sheen, going, wow, what happened, right? Listen, he needs Jesus Christ just as anyone else does. We're all sinners and we fall short of God's grace. God's perfect standard because of our sin. But it is only through Jesus Christ, in our faith in him, that we have the hope of forever being in the presence of the Lord. Charlie's no different. Listen, Solomon had compassion for the foreigner. We should be burdened for the lost. Seek and save that which is lost. Just as Peter had shared earlier this morning, just simply to go out and be available, and sometimes it's a divine appointment that comes out of left field, and you have no idea what's going to happen, but all you have to do is say, hi. And then God starts directing you as to what you need to say. It's amazing. You can go to a friend and simply say these words, how are you doing? Like what was said, right, Peter? How are you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. Pastor Charlie said this. Ask again, really? How are you doing? Are you really okay? And sometimes you get responses, reactions, just like Doug and Peter got yesterday. Just a man who is broken, in need of someone coming along and sharing with him a word that brings life, a word of encouragement from the Bible, or someone who has not called upon the Lord, a foreigner still, as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. And God will give you the words to speak to them, to lead them to the Lord. This dedication is not complete without communicating to you the amazing love that God has for you. What lengths will God go to reach you and bring you into a relationship with him? To what lengths will he not go? Because while we were still sinners, God sent his son to pay for your sins and mine, past, present, and future. He went to those extremes. Dedication is costly. I said that at the beginning. But it is most costly and was most costly for the Lord. And he offers the gift of eternal life to each and every one of us by grace through faith in his son Jesus Christ. So, in dedicating this building, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up at this time. I'm going to ask if there's anyone here who's fallen short of asking the Lord to forgive them of their sins, which separates us from God. We're all sinners. You see, with sin comes not only a separation from God, but that separation from God, it's no laughing matter. That separation from God puts us in a place to where when we close our eyes here, we don't go into the presence of the Lord. A lot of times we miss this part as pastors to say this part. Listen, you're not going to go into a holding pattern. You're not going to go into a place where, what were we talking about, Christopher? Is this movie? Inception, yeah. But what was the place? In limbo or? You don't go into limbo. That was the whole thing I wanted to say. This is a celebration, guys. Stop trying to fight what the Lord wants to do with you. Because right now, your palms are sweaty. Your heart's racing. You know I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to the Lord. Why not just surrender? For some of you, it's a recommitment. Remember, dedication is costly. Yes, it's costly. A reasonable service is sacrifice to the Lord immeasurably, in fact, with our very lives. He so yearns to have fellowship with you that even on the cross, Jesus Christ looked across at the thief. By the way, he didn't get baptized. He said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." It's just by faith. It's crying out. If you're a foreigner right now, to the Lord, and you haven't been walking with him, then I would just ask that you would pray with me this prayer. There's no magical thing within the prayer. Okay? It's a sincerity from you to the Lord in asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life as Lord and Savior and to write your name in the book of life. And I pray that you stop fighting the Lord, that you come to him this morning. Commit yourself to him, and then this dedication will be complete. Amen? So, I'm going to pray right now. I'm going to ask them to play this last song. And then, afterwards, we're going to close in prayer, but I'm going to lead you in that prayer. And let me tell you this. For anyone who would like to recommit their lives to the Lord, or to commit their lives to the Lord, I would ask you to do that publicly this morning. I know that's bold, but this is the safest place where you can do it. Safest place. I guarantee you that you will be applauded by coming up to the front. Why? Because we're encouraged. All the angels are rejoicing in heaven when one person comes to the Lord. And that's what we do as a family here. And so we're going to pray. I'm going to ask the worship team to play the song, and then afterwards, or during the song, I would ask if the Lord's calling you, come up to the front and I'll be right here waiting for you. Amen. Father, we thank you for all that you've done this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you love us so much, that you sent your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So I ask that you move in the hearts of all of your people here. And that we have a compassion for those who are not saved. And Lord, that you shower your grace on those who this morning are making a commitment to you. We thank you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.